Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." The word for love here describes the love that is from the Father. It was displayed by the cross of Jesus Christ. It is the sacrificial love that He tells us to have toward each other, and by that love, all will know that we are His disciples. So join in the conversation as we discover what it looks like when we walk in the fruit of love.
And Janie, we have been discussing agape love over the past couple of weeks. It has been pretty challenging conversation, to say the least. Last week, you told us what agape love is. And this week, we're going to dig into what agape love does.
That's right. The verb form.
So the verb form is
agapeo. All our listeners will have to forgive the southern accents of
us
ladies.
Well, I think I've heard it say, it said agapeo.
I have too, but okay. I had a pastor the other day give me a ah to
okay.
that
all
instead
right.
of a eh.
Okay. it's our accents, right? We'll just
and if anybody doesn't like them, they need to take it up with the Lord, because where we were born and how we were raised was not our choice. And I have tried to speak and learn different languages. And have you ever tried hearing a southern lady speak Arabic?
Oh.
Or Spanish?
Oh, okay.
It provides free entertainment for all listeners. But it keeps you pretty humble. The one point I would like to open up with, Sharon, that I don't think we really emphasized last week, and that was that with all of our freedom of volition to choose, and that agape love is a choice, and we have been given that ability to choose, it's our will, that we need to understand that feelings do not have to enter into the equation. Now, when we operate off of agape love, there will be warm feelings. There may also be some tough feelings that you have to invoke, because there'll be some difficulty. But so many people equate if they're serving in agape love or not with how they feel about it. And that can be a very, very deceptive tool.
Okay. Yeah.
So we always have to remember that it is a choice from the will, and it's possible for our will in our own strength to complete this. So the need of a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Well, do you think that has anything to do with that we kind of feel guilty if we don't feel like we're doing love from our heart?
Yes, because our senses have told us we have to. Why do we have these senses? We look because we like what we see. We listen because we like what we hear. We touch because we like what we feel. And if that's all coming up difficult, then the senses say, hey, let's put this away. We don't need this.
Well, and it could make us feel like that that we're not doing it right.
Yes.
That there should be some sort of sense of good in us somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
That if
we'll confirm with your feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And feelings are too deceptive. Feelings and emotions are gifts from God. But we have to make sure that we've got to be using them according to the way that we have been orchestrated to by the Holy Spirit, or they can wind up being our enemy.
So the belief that there's a little good in all of us, we just need it molded and shaped and developed.
Boy, Sharon, now you've opened up a can of worms. but it's a good can.
Okay.
So 2 weeks ago, we opened up one can. Now we're opening up another today. There are many secular psychiatry and psychology does base their foundation on the fact that there is a little good in everybody. There's a seed of goodness. And if we nurture that, if we give them the right environment, if we give them the right in circumstances, if we give them the right education, they will become good people, good citizens. Well, that philosophy doesn't seem to be working any place in the world that I can see. Now, I'm not saying you can't get a symptom that will cover you for a short period of time, but it's not a lasting, because it's not based on truth. It doesn't have a foundation. So what do we do for our foundation? We go back to the Word of God and say, is there any good in us apart from Jesus Christ?
Okay.
And some people will say, oh, you sound like Calvinistic girls, the five tulip, you know, total depravity. Well, I'm not going to go there today at all. I'm just going to go to maybe a couple of verses. And I think you brought out a couple of verses that you liked out of Romans.
Romans 3:10 and 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one.
And so there's no escape clause in there for 98% is there. I mean, there's the word all have sinned.
Yeah.
And there is none who seek after God. That's a totality that we don't have that good spark in us that can be nurtured.
Well, and nowhere in Scripture do we find that the Lord says that about us, that there's a little good in everyone. You just need to nurture it and stroke it and mold it and shape it.
But we do have the teaching that once you're saved, you're automatically sanctified unto full maturity. Now, there's a sanctification that's given at salvation, but if it was total, Sharon, the Lord wouldn't have said, work out your salvation with
fear
and trembling.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't say, grow in grace. He would just say, hey, you get saved, you've got instant everything,
right,
which our society wants to accept.
Okay,
and then you don't have to work at it. You just get to have it and enjoy it.
Oh yeah, well, that's what we like about everything, right?
That's right. Just... And there is definitely a salvation package with the grace of God.
Right.
But if there were not some oughts and some conditions, we could cut the word if out of our vocabulary.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
But there is one verse that I think pretty well sums it up, and it's in Isaiah 53:6, and it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray; we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity or the sin of us all." So if there was something redeemable in us, then it basically...
Apart from Jesus Christ.
And the cross and the blood that cleansed us from all unrighteousness,
right,
maybe their system would work. But I don't believe the Scripture gives us any validation to follow in that particular thinking. So with that said, then let's go over and do 1 Corinthians 13, because there, in just verses 4 through 7, that gives us so many characteristics of what mature love should look like, but it also gives us some negatives, like don't be jealous, don't brag. So why don't we go over there and and why don't you just read this 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, to give us a basis of what we want to share today.
Okay, well, my Bible says charity for the word love. So do you want me to say charity or do you want me to say love?
Well, why don't you just say both?
Okay. Charity or love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself, or does not brag.
Okay.
Is not puffed up or arrogant. Does not behave itself unseemingly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails.
And now in the background, I hear that theme song of Mission Impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
And isn't it great that I hear another song that's called Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sins? Of course, you know, out of a different domain or location. The first word, let's start off with verse 4. Now, I'm working out of the New King James, and it says love is patient. Now, that is a attitude, and with every attitude, there'll be some kind of action.
Okay,
and
right,
if there is an action, it will come from the right attitude.
Okay,
so
that's a good point.
So you can't have one without the other. It's
exactly.
Kind of like another old song, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. So if you have the right attitude, there should be the follow through with the action.
Okay.
And many times we Christians, will say the right word indicating the right attitude, but boy, the action never seems to follow through with that attitude. And then that should be a light bulb for us that there's a lack of love in this person. And whether it's to cover or whether it's in total innocence, needing to just be educated and learn how to invoke the will, that's where our prayer lives can come in for one another.
Okay.
Lord, I hear these words, but I see these actions. Bring them into a oneness of who you are. So, patience is the first word that you've got there.
Well, mine suffers long is what mine says.
Okay.
Love suffers long.
So give me a couple of synonyms for what you would think suffering long would be to show patience.
Slow to anger, quiet spirit,
mm-hmm.
calm.
Okay. All right. Those are all three really good synonyms. And how would that look to you? When you see a person, would they...
That they're not flustered.
Okay.
They don't get flustered and spout off things.
And probably not real impulsive.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you do see some negative qualities that might give you a giveaway that they're not acting in mature love, what kind of synonyms could you put for somebody who is lacking in love?
That they seem upset, irritated.
Vexed.
I
love that
frustrated.
Word. Frustrated.
Uh-huh.
Upset.
Uh-huh. And usually that leads to ugly words coming out of the mouth, and they might fret about things.
And I'll tell you another one that I've learned the hard way, and that is it can have a body language. If you are impatient, and let's say someone's talking and you don't like what they're saying or they're talking too long, there's this, or there might be, and for our listeners, there's kind of this tapping. I'm a little impatient. Would you get on? Okay. Or sometimes even more subtle is just the roll of the eyes. Have you ever seen that? Like, oh, my word, have we got to keep putting up with this?
Yeah.
Sharon, that is so damaging. That is so damaging to the heart. So we don't always express it in words. Sometimes we express it in our actions and our facial expressions. And reading the body becomes also another way of seeing if the person is really showing forth agape love, or if they are wanting to, but maybe not there yet.
Yeah.
So, all right, if we're going to get through, we're going to have to go through probably a little bit faster, but there is a story that I think is dynamite in the Old Testament, found in 1 Samuel 13, 8 through 14, where Saul was needing to offer a sacrifice, and Samuel was supposed to be the one that offered it since he was the priest. And Samuel didn't come in a timely fashion. He was late for his date.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we have that many times when we have people that are late, and I've been guilty of that myself. But Saul decided he needed to take matters into his own hands. He was not patient, and he had a logical excuse and reason for why he needed to go ahead and offer a sacrifice. And when Samuel came, Samuel reprimanded him strongly, and it even cost Saul the kingdom.
Yeah.
I mean, that one poor choice.
Well, I tell you, Janie, and this may be taking us down a rabbit trail, but I have heard so many Christians say, don't pray for patience. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, yes.
Don't pray for patience. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And if we are not exhibiting patience, we're not exhibiting a Christ-like attitude.
But that's another way of saying, I don't want to go through hard times, so I'm not going to pray for patience. But there's a little overriding verse over in Timothy, and God says that he will be faithful to you even when you're not faithful to him if you are his child. Then he says, if you deny me, I'll deny you, but that is in a little bit different context. So God says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. We can look at James, we can look at John, we can look at almost all of the books of the New Testament, and certainly go back into the stories given to us as our example in the Old Testament, and to coin a phrase, there's trouble in River City. As long as we are here, we need to have patience if we're going to be overcomers, and we need to get over our fear of having to learn patience.
Right.
And do you by any chance have that verse of 1 John 4:18?
I can get there.
Okay. That talks about the fear and why we don't want to pray for patience. I just thought about that.
Okay.
If you can read that.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love.
Okay, so now we realize when we don't want to pray for patience or take the less traveled road, the difficult road, it's because there is some sort of fear in us, and that's because there is a lack of agape love. Because perfect love or mature love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, and that torment means it involves pain, and we want to escape pain.
Okay.
So we look for escape patterns, and that can be anything from your bucket list to your busyness to your things that you'd like to do. But he who fears has not been made mature or perfect in agape love. So when we don't want to take the less traveled road, it's simply us making a verbal and bold statement with our life as well as our words. We don't want to mature.
Well, you know, and the sad thing is I think that some people give that as counsel, because I remember getting that as counsel as a young Christian. Be sure that you don't pray for patience, Sharon. And even though they may have been joking around or teasing me, I took that as serious, you know, so-and-so said, don't pray for patience. So I'm all being careful, trying to take wise counsel from a believer. And it's just like the Lord revealed that to me one day. Okay, so you don't want to have the fruit of the Spirit that I've called you to? So I think that we need to be careful.
Oh, yes.
in the teasing,
yes,
of that.
Yes.
Maybe it's been meant as a joke among believers. You know, be sure and don't pray for patience, Janie. You know, you'll have a bad day.
And you probably had a lot of problems arise that did cause you to see that you did need patience, but it was the Holy Spirit taking you back to the Scriptures,
right,
and calling your heart and mind into what He said. And praise God, you were faithful to respond.
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up today since we were talking about patience. I just think that that's important, whether you're saying it as a joke, because I seriously took it as for real, that was something that I was not supposed to do. And so we just need to be careful how we mentor the next generation of believers. And if we say something like that, be sure and let them know
clarify
you're teasing, that's a joke.
Because the Bible says in this world you will have tribulations. Well, and the other point that we need to gain from this lesson in 1 Samuel 13 is that timing is crucial.
Right.
Okay, Samuel knew when he needed to arrive. Saul was under a test.
Mm-hmm.
Saul failed the test because of impatience.
And the consequences were great. Yeah.
So that's a good testimony, Sharon. I really appreciate you sharing that. Okay, then we need to go to the next one on our list. And is your translation showing kind?
Yes.
Okay.
I have kind.
So kind, gentle. Being useful to others, ministering to others. There's even a verse back in, I believe it is, well, I can't quote it today, Sharon. I will have this as a handout, and we will have some verses on there to document what we're saying today. But we need to show kindness on a daily basis. And the Bible says it is required that we show kindness.
And what we're talking about is what it looks like when we make the choices that we need to make is to be patient. to show forth patience and to show forth kindness.
So that
and,
would be
and
an
the
action.
List goes on.
Yes. And that would be an action. You know, we could say patience is actually an attitude that you gain, and then you show forth kindness in an action.
Okay.
So then if I am a stick in the mud and I am not kind, how are you going to probably see me?
Well, I'm going to see you as maybe harsh.
Mm-hmm.
And hateful.
Okay.
You know,
if I'm not kind, I'm going to probably be withdrawn and not particularly caring for
friendly.
You.
Friendly. You're probably not going to be friendly.
That's true. That's true. Although I need to quickly say there are some people that don't appear friendly because they are very quiet in temperament and personality. And we need to accept that and then help them get the confidence to draw out. But some people who have not been very friendly, I've thought, well, they don't want friends, when actually there was more of a temperament issue than it was a heart issue.
Yeah, and we have to understand that not everybody's as chatty as
we are.
And they maybe don't want to hear chatty.
If there was a crown for chatty Kathy, I'm sure I would get one in heaven. Well, let's give a scriptural example that we can follow here. In fact, there's several of them. In Luke 10, we've got the story of the Good Samaritan, mm-hmm. where he showed his kindness by going out and helping a stranger. And then in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Right.
And then you've already mentioned
the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I think there's also one in Luke 6:31. Do you have that one?
To look up?
Well, I tell you what, let's just read it here. I've got it. I've made
okay.
a notation. Luke 6:31 says, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise.
All right, Janie. Well, I think that's as far as we're going to get today on this lesson. So we're talking about what agape love does,
yes.
what it looks like when we are choosing to walk in it and express it. We covered patience and kindness, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, in love, what love looks like. So maybe we can continue next week. Will you close us out in prayer? Would you mind?
I will. And I thank you for your patience in the fact that 27 minutes goes like three.
Well, and it doesn't help that your cohort over here takes you to rabbit trails.
Oh, but that's that is the beauty. I love doing rabbit trails with you.
All right.
I thoroughly love it. And Father, it is great that we can love, serving together, loving together, because we are one, because of your love. And Father, I know that love is enriched even between us because of your Holy Spirit showing his guidance, showing us the way. And as we search the scriptures together, our hearts are blended and melted into one, and that is knowing the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you for the examples that you've given us. Thank you for the guidance of the what we should do and what we shouldn't do in agape love, so that we can complete and fulfill our destiny as we come to see you face to face, and your plan for before the foundation of the world will become an actual example for those around us. But for today, Father, may we walk in the love that you provided by the choice of our wills, and that we might see that fruit, Father, even this next week, of the benefits of trusting you and having you, agape love, living in us. And we thank you and praise you for your precious promises and your faithfulness to your word. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today for this challenging conversation. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.